This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Championship or nothing. They ain't bring me here to win no division or no conference. So if I'm here to help win the Super Bowl, that's gonna be the reason. But I think people know. A lot of people look at this team and it's like, oh, you know, they got a lot of great pieces. But me to you, I think it's more than just a lot of great pieces. You have a great culture here, great organization. I think the more you fill this up with winners, not just me. Coach D'Amico was a winner. Runner Darby was a winner. Will was a winner. So you just fill the room up with winners. I think you're going to get what you want, and I think we're going to get it real soon.
That was C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who met with the media yesterday, who will play more audio from him later in the show. They have brought
I didn't
in,
know if it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson or Beck.
Yeah.
I'm a driver. I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a it's in his DNA, damn it.
Yeah, it is. They brought in another good press conference guy in C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
That's like Jimmy. You would pointed this out. Kind of like Jimmy Ward. He does the press conferences really well. Which obviously you want the performance on the field and maybe in the ability to stay healthy. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
He's like Jimmy Ward with health and a cool hat.
Yeah, his hat. He's got a Cam Ward hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Cam Newton. Damn it. Retract any future dings.
Dude, I was driving in this morning. Not even driving in. I left my apartment this morning, and before I even got in my truck, I didn't use a single key fob. I went down to the first floor of my building accidentally. Didn't get off at the right floor. Used the wrong key fob to get out of the garage. Turn the radio volume down when I meant to turn the air conditioner down in my truck. Like, I did three things where I did it wrong. I'm like, it's gonna be a long day for Seth today, man. It's gonna be a long day.
Oh, yeah, without you as my backstop. Yeah.
Yeah. So
don't worry, you caught that. You caught that.
Yeah.
Somehow, yeah. There's only so many people that would have realized that I said that Cam Ward wouldn't make any sense at all in that moment.
Because he mentioned Cam Newton when he got asked about the hat, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. That helped. So we'll hear more. I play that because we'll hear more from him. If you were wondering what he's saying at the beginning, because it came in kind of, you know, he was kind of monotone in the beginning. He said championship or nothing. That's what he said. I would imagine C.J. Gardner-Johnson is, you know, when he hears D'Amico Ryans talking about taking this franchise to new heights and getting to the AFC title game, is like, no, man, we're winning the AFC title game and we're winning the Super Bowl. I don't know if
I'll tell you what.
And saw who I was playing for last year. It was the Eagles, all right?
Honestly, there's one thing I noticed just from college and in the NFL, there is definitely some kind of undefinable value or addition by having multiple guys on your team who have won championships.
Because
there's kind of a certain, you want as many guys as possible who have seen that the hard work pays off, that it's not just some lofty promise or something.
Yeah.
So like, it's almost like they're giving an eyewitness report from heaven itself.
Yeah.
Like if somebody could come back and be like, hey, no, it's really true. Everything they're telling you, it's true.
Yeah.
It really is.
Keep praying.
I've seen it.
I can't explain
it, but I can, but it's true.
Yeah.
There is a lot of value to that, and guys that have been through kind of some of the highs and the lows. You look at Philadelphia last year, they got off to a slow start. Defensively, people were wondering, all right, well, what the hell? Thanks a lot, Vic Fangio.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess you're really going to turn this thing around.
Mm-hmm.
So as many guys as possible that you can have in the locker room who've seen the upside of putting in all the hard work and everything, it does help.
All right, so Albert Breer had his draft notebook emptying column yesterday. He did one Monday, he did one yesterday. This is what caught the attention of a lot of Texan fans. And keep in mind, We had Adam Schefter doing his draft notebook emptying at the beginning of the week, and his nugget on the Texans was Nick Caserio makes a lot of trades on draft weekend. Thanks a lot. Hadn't noticed. This is Albert Breer. This one, I mean, just basically said Nick Caserio makes, he gave us the number of trades that Nick Caserio has made and said, expect him to make some trades.
Yeah,
thanks.
Schefter did the same thing. Like, oh, word is. The
no, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Schefter. Okay,
yeah.
Well, Breer says it too.
Breer's has a little more teeth in it, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit more. This is what Breer says. Speaking of linemen, we have another team that has at least started sniffing around on a trade up, and that's the Houston Texans. Okay, so that actually denotes some activity that's taking place right now. He says, it's no secret that Houston needs offensive line help, and I'd expect the Texans to target strong character players as they continue to remake that room. Now, keep in mind, Breer was the one that reported the toxic environment in the offensive line room when the Texans started making all the Tunsil trade and all the other moves they made. So he says, I'd expect the Texans to target strong character players as they continue to remake that room. With the possibility that Will Campbell, Armand Membu, and Kelvin Banks are all gone inside the top 10, the next group of linemen could get moved up the board a bit, and the Texans have two teams in front of them, the Packers and the Vikings, that could take an offensive lineman. Thanks to the Tunsil trade, the Texans have 3 picks on day 2 to work with. They're without a 4th and a 6th rounder. He finishes by saying this. I could see where that sets up for a short move up, potentially to try to land someone like Zabel, or it's Gray Zabel from North Dakota State, or if they're feeling froggy and including picks for next year, 2026, maybe a more significant move up for Kelvin Banks. One player that he's heard the Texans have done a lot of work on is Donovan Jackson, who's from Houston, out of Ohio State. So that where I feel like, Seth, there's a little more oomph to what Breer is saying is that he's actually saying he's hearing that the Texans are kicking tires on picks above them right now.
Right, and that they're considering trading up. And I think a lot of people first hear that and immediately you think, well, okay, there's also a lot of reports that there's not a lot of appetite for moving up in this draft because of the perceived weakness or lack of top tier guys. It all gets really interesting because then, okay, perhaps the price ends up being lower than what you might expect to move up if there's not a lot of appetite for it. And I'm glad you brought up Tunsil and the picks they got back from Tunsil. I myself find myself saying, I want quantity. I don't want to trade away all these picks. I'd like as many picks as possible. And yet, part of being aggressive in rebuilding the offensive line and trying to replace Laremy Tunsil and these other guys is also, okay, Tunsil himself and letting him go. You got draft picks for him. I don't have an issue with using those draft picks to really get the offensive line prospect that you want.
Yeah.
It becomes almost part of the Laremy Tunsil trade itself.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Were you right? Exactly. Well, let's look at the last two drafts, Seth, the last two off seasons, and we're starting to get a body of work on Nick Caserio, right? He's done 4 drafts now. This is his 5th draft as GM of the Texans, and the behavior in the last 2 drafts would indicate that if Nick has extra picks to play with, even premium picks, he's making moves that make the team better immediately. The Will Anderson trade in 2023, he had an extra first the following year. He had the 2nd round pick he mixed into that deal. He had no problem mixing extra premium draft capital into a deal to go get a guy he coveted. In 2024, they picked up that extra 2 from Minnesota for moving back from 23 to 42. He didn't stick around and use that pick in the 2nd round. That pick would have been this year. He didn't wait for that pick. He took it and flipped it for Steph.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fun digs. Now, you can say what you want about the Diggs trade, whether you thought it was good or bad or whatever. I'm just telling you what happened. And so if I take those two things, again, small sample size, it's two deals. It could have been two very specific things. But the fact of the matter is Nick Caserio has had extra first and second round picks to operate with the last two off seasons, and he didn't stick around and use those. He used them as draft picks. He used them in trades to go get guys he wanted. So I could very well see them taking at least one of those, at least one of the third rounder this year and the extra second rounder next year, and mixing it into a deal to go get somebody they really, really like up in the teens, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that Nick has demonstrated, that he's not afraid to raise people's eyebrows when it comes to how much he gives up for a player they really want. The Will Anderson trade was one of the most aggressive trades in recent NFL history for a non-quarterback, and that ended up working out really well. The Stephon Diggs trade, you're right, that was aggressive. Didn't work out because of injury. I mean, in terms of Stephon Diggs, despite the offense being way below expectations, the offense got much worse after Stephon Diggs got injured last year. So the Stephon Diggs' presence did make an impact on that offense. There was just so much other stuff that was bad that it didn't yield the overall results.
Mm-hmm.
I think with this draft class, you look at some of the offensive linemen or at the other players, I think there's a lot of teams that might have Josh Simmons on their board in the first round, the offensive tackle out of Ohio State.
Yep.
There's a good chance the Texans don't look at him as draftable in the first round.
Just
because
of
maturity concerns, the knee, everything else like that.
Yeah.
So they'd rather be aggressive. There might be other teams that think, oh, okay, cool. If we were picking 25 and Josh Simmons was there, we'd take him. The Texans might not feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the names that we've heard from credible plugged-in people most often, including Jonathan Alexander, who had a tidbit about Kelvin Banks the other day. So Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle out of Texas, we've heard his name a lot. We've heard Tyler Booker a boatload.
Yeah.
We've heard Donovan Jackson a fair amount. Those are the three offensive linemen that we've seen, I think, tied to the Texans most frequently.
I would throw Simmons in there, too. In mock draft. But you're saying like people in the know, maybe.
Yeah,
so
kind
much.
Of like
yeah,
the people where I think, like, oh, okay. Like Daniel Jeremiah has brought up names and with enough, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is not a hot take guy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's coming from a place of substance.
No doubt. I shouldn't have brought up Simmons. You're right. Simmons has been in a lot of mock drafts from people whose opinion I'm just like, I think these are just, I could put a mock draft the same as this guy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like that kind of thing. Daniel Jeremiah, speaking of him, had this to say. I think it was with Mina Kimes. He was on Mina Kimes' podcast. This is the second time he's talked about the Texans tying them to this player.
But what if they added Emeka Ubuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend in Emeka Ubuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ubuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman.
Okay.
I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there.
Okay, so there you go. So I was told they won't pass on Banks if he's there.
Yeah, and you know, Jonathan Alexander's had some nice little tidbits as of late that have worked out in terms of him talking about guys they like or moves they might be considering. So when Jonathan Alexander says that the team really likes Kelvin Banks, I think that's coming from a place of substance. So And this goes back to, okay, Nick Caserio says that they don't draft for need. I do think that part of when he says that is that I think he means they're not going to stretch because of need. They're not going to take a guy that perhaps they have graded lower just because they need a guy. But I think they 100% and he will trade to a spot in the draft where they have a need and they really like the guy.
Yeah.
And Kelvin Banks might end up being that guy.
And that's okay. You know, like, and that's fine. I think Texan fans, if they... Okay, reaction at the draft party on Thursday night, if the Texans trade their second rounder they got from the Tunsil trade to move up 10 spots, to move up to 15,
spots?
To move up to 15 and take Kelvin Banks,
That's a that trade value works out, doesn't
it? I don't have the chart in front of me. I'm saying like gut feel, because nobody's going to have a chart out of the draft party.
No, I think that for one, and you know how it goes from draft reaction. Okay, Kelvin Banks has a name that's recognizable. He's been talked about a lot. This is key for me. I always like to know, how does the actual fan base feel about a player?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes...
Oh, the UT fan base you're talking
about. Yeah. So the UT fan, a college fan base.
Yeah.
I really like to know how a college fan base feels about a player. And UT, every time I ask Longhorns about how they feel about Kelvin Banks, they love him.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a long time. I think we know this with Nick. He likes guys with a body of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons that he hasn't taken smaller school guys, I think, is that it's not that he doesn't think they can be good. He just feels better about being able to watch a lot of really good film versus really good opponents. And Kelvin Banks has that. So I think that people would be pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't.
And Banks also can play guard or tackle.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a stretch or a reach that you're. It's not. Who was the original versatile dirty V word? The guard that got moved around all over the place.
Oh, it wasn't Xavier Suafilo.
Suafilo, yeah.
Was it? Xavier Suafilo. Yeah.
Remember, Xavier Suafilo played like four different positions.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
Yep.
It wouldn't be like that. I think they would probably settle in on maybe starting him out at guard and seeing how he does and give him all the reps there. I don't think they'd move him around a lot trying to figure out what he can do.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Draft is a day away. We've got one more sleep until the draft, and that'll be tomorrow. We've got you covered all weekend long here on Sports Radio 610, beginning with the first round on Thursday night, second and third rounds on Friday night, and then all day Saturday with rounds 4 through 7. You can hear it all right here on Sports Radio 610. Headlines up next. Astros, they're hot right now. We'll hear more from some of the new Texans that spoke yesterday, and the Rockets back in action trying to even their series tonight. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.